The reason why I show this hole is very important. Let me show something. Require reading at Microsoft. All software engineer at Microsoft, I mean in the engineering side, they're forced to read this book. Right? So as a developer, I strongly recommend to get this book. This book is called Writing Secure Code Version 2. This book has been there for ages. What I tell you today also because security has the same security stuff, the same technical hack you're playing, which is the past of 5 to 6 years, even 10 years, is a similar concept. How many ever before SQL injections? 1, 2, 11, 1. I'm not able to show the SQL injection today, it's not related so much. But those are the same thing that happened for past 10 years. That means the same problem, people didn't fix it until 10 years today, you still have the same problem. So that's why security and today is still one of the main topics. Right, it's wrote by two guys called Michael Harvard and Steve Bittner. So these two is actually work in Microsoft. Before they come on this book, they have a version 1, which is they craft out for the Bill Gates for all the Microsoft engineers. Buy this, okay? I'm not promoting this book. I strongly recommend it. Partially, I don't write this book. I also read. How many of you view NTS architecture applications? It's very common. NTS, typically with 3 tiers. You have a UI layer. The middle one you have the business logic, and lastly you have the database. Because today's topic is mostly surrounding within Windows 8 and Windows Phone, right? What we did is only focus on the front end connecting to the services. The database we don't talk that much. So I think it's very typical that you guys are using 3-tier architectures. Anyone do 4-tier, 5-tier, 6-tiers? Good luck to them. The point that I want to point out here is if you have N tiers, let's say you have 8 tiers, anyone do 10 tiers here? I saw someone did like N tiers, like inside a library, you call another library kind of thing. When you have N tiers, you need to protect N tiers. If you create 10 tiers, you need to protect 10 tiers. Imagine your house. If your house has 10 doors, you need to buy 10 locks, right? If your house only has 1 door, you need to buy 1 lock. But you can't have house with no door, right? So the concept is how many doors you have, you need to protect it, okay? So there's an effort to be spent on that, okay? The tools I'll introduce today, the 3 tools. Fiddler, for those of you who build a web, you should be familiar with this, Fiddler. See before? Yeah, for those of you who do web, you should be familiar. Debug view. Yes and no. Just decompile. This is one of the amazing tools. That's the last demo that I want to reserve it. Whatever code that you write, I reverse engineer and I read your code. That's the whole concept on top, which is I put it at the last because the demo is the most interesting one. So this is the one that I'll talk about today. We started with our presentation layer on the left. We're connecting to business logic layer, which is the WCF. Or web services, which is in the ASMS, or anything else, right? And we do have a data layer in the back. The demo set that I created is actually this one and this one, right? So the problem happened is actually here. Why? The technology that we require to read is called clear text vulnerability. Whatever for you to set up, you think is very safe, it's not safe at all. If you think it's very safe, it might not be that way. All information sent across the wire, maybe sent across the LAN cable or whatever, is actually given to you in clear text. Either you encrypted it, it's still a clear text. When you encrypted it, it's just one more layer that people do not understand. I'll teach you how to use Fiddler that kind of like install a web proxy, which is the Fiddler tool, to see what is sent across the wire. Then I'll show some tips how to open up the Microsoft application, like let's say Bing Finance, Bing Travel, see what kind of information you retrieve and see what kind of information you set up. Right? So I'll show that in the demo. Typically, when you have installed an app like the Facebook web, the 8.1 app, and anything else, anything that go out from the PC and coming in into your PC, everything will be captured by one single tool. This is the way I will show them. This architecture, right? The problem happened here. It's from a PC go out, from a PC come in, it's happened within this area. Okay. So without further ado, let's do a demo. So first, I'm going to have one app here that is calling the web services, right? So I just run the web services. And I'm going to have the app here just very straightforward. I'm not a designer. That's why the app is black and white. Any designer here? Right. Not this. This is the tools that you can get from Telarik. It's called Fibula 2. You can download for free. It's very small. Okay. This app is built by one of the engineers. If I'm not mistaken, his name is called Alec Lawrence. He used to work in Microsoft. This is one of the tools that you build for part-time. You do for fun and give up. So Microsoft didn't buy the product. The IP belonged to him. And recently, about half a year ago, he moved on from Microsoft to Telarik and become Starter. So this product became a Telarik product. Okay. Anyone heard before Telarik? The component is see charts and all these things, right? So once you open this one, this is what you're going to get. By default, I'll do a capture capture traffic. And what happened here is, from here, I'll just fire a local host, which is the address. I'm sending something across. And at the server side, I'm going to receive it here. Okay, so just to show you, can I see the code? If cannot, can see it. Alright, just put something here. I press a button, you come here. I send in a string called water.w, right? I send it across, you jump to here, correct? So you check, if the user ID is belong to whatever, then you return the stuff accordingly. Typically, in your application, you will send something like your user ID, or account number, or some of these things, right? Either you encrypted or didn't encrypted, it depends on you, okay? Whatever you send across, it will return something like this to you. The Fiddler will be able to capture the traffic that's going up. That's going from your PC client. The server I showed just now is actually, imagine it's on the cloud. When you go out, you're going to get all this thing. This is why I sent across. Right? And what happened as a hacker, you can always just come to here and say that, hey, I want to drag this one here. I want to change this value to XXX. Now, I bypass the client side. If you have a validation on the client side, everything will be useless. I just come here, I execute this guy, you jump here again, and the user ID is XXX. It's kind of blue, okay? You can't really see here. Can you see it? Right. So, we actually have this so-called the issue that everyone can just bypass. Okay? So what happens here in this logic is very straightforward. If it's correct, it'll return you a specific GUID. Assume this is a session. Well, you can do a lot of things inside there, but in this example, I just use it as a session. So I'll just copy this string and just change it to whatever it's supposed to be. And run this guy again. So come to Fiddler here, I just want to clear off all the things. So click. I press this one, you will set up, you jump to here, you return me a new GUID number. Right? Once I look at the Fiddler, right, this is the value that I'm getting. This is the thing. This is returned from the server. Right. So I just show you, a lot of things you send across the wire is in clear text. So you know these techniques, let me show you what's more interesting. Just look at whatever app that you install on your Windows 8. Any app that you want here, what is sending, what you're getting from Microsoft, assume this is the Bing Finance, right? So what happens here is, the moment you turn on the Fiddler, you just auto-capture anything. You go to Facebook, in the IE, you will capture, you go to here, you will capture everything. When I turn on this guy, where's my eye? I turn on this Bing Finance app, you will start there. Okay, let me show this one. Let me get another app. I'll show you this one. You're not able to load. Because by default, the Windows 8 run in a sandbox. know what sandbox? So it's protected by a parameter, sorry, a perimeter, right? It's like a fence. But don't worry, this guy give you a very good so-called the experience is amazing. You click on this guy called this particular button called Windows 8 config, right? You're able to pick any app you want that you install to capture the thing. That's how it exports. Let's click on the spot and press save changes, close it, clear it all again. And just recapture. So time to open this guy, close it. There you go, I got everything. Look at Fiddler. Stop. This is all the thing that you get, including the URL, what kind of thing you send in, all these things. I'm not here to teach you how to use a Fiddler, but if you drag it in, you want to see all the information. This is actually a PNG, so it's a image view. I don't know what's this. Look for something that makes sense. This one is a JSON. Just come from the spot. This is all the data you have. So now, if you expand, you can create your own spot app by consuming the same data source that Microsoft did. This one's only reading information. You didn't really pass in information. If you're doing like Bing travel, you can book ticket online. You can see what they passed there. Right, I give you a technique, whatever you want to do, I'll give it back to you. I want to emphasize, this topic that I'm doing today is education, not teaching you how to hack. Right, so you've seen a technique that everything is clear, set in a clear text, right? The next one I'll talk about is single sign-on. It's actually quite interesting that how many of you are actually using Windows 8? One. Windows 95. One point out here that if you're using Windows Phone or Windows 8 or 8.1, you have no choice but have to have a live account or Outlook.com, Hotmail.com. So some of these things is a compulsory one, right? You have no choice, right? How to bet on the advantage of this? When we build app, sometimes you can choose the credential they want to come from where. We strongly recommend if you're building this for these two platforms, you can use the Live. The Live also have the SDK for other platforms. Like let's say we're doing in the iOS, built in the Android, you actually can consume the Live so-called authentication SDK as well. Because everyone started installing Windows 8, the Live accounts, we know that they already have that. If you created a Facebook as a, we call the credential store to log in using Facebook, it might work here, but it might not be working. China. Right? China don't have a Facebook. Right? If I use some other thing else, it might not be work in Taiwan as well. So, in order to target a worldwide one, Live actually stands a very good chance for you to like target the worldwide so-called market. Live is working in China as well, mainland China. Okay? So, what happened here is, I'll show you a demo that from the Windows 8 or 8.1 app, how you can retrieve the information that from your existing login account and how to log into your app. Okay. For those of you who did before in Windows 8 and 8.1, it's two different things. Windows 8 is actually a separate SDK for Live, but Windows 8.1 is part of the SDK, the .NET framework that you come together. They put that inside there already. So the code is a bit different. If you're using the older one, you still can use it, but it's just the way to code it is a bit different. I'm showing you today how we code it in the 8.1. At the same time, I'm going to show how to do it in the Windows Phone 8. Okay, so I'm going to show it too. Okay? The best part of this is the result returned to you in REST. It's a JSON, it's a REST kind of thing. How many of you know comparison? What's the advantage of REST versus XML? Anyone can point out an advantage? Why using REST or JSON compared with the XML web services? Anyone? Well, a very typical one that I would say is size. The JSON size is a lot more smaller than what the XML can provide. Okay, very, very small. So when it's small, it means that it consumes less data, it performs a lot more faster. Okay. So the code, right, I'll show as well. So what happened here is, this is the code you're going to do. And you just declare blah blah blah. You can see WL basic, WL contact, photo calendar. This is what I call scope. Right? Scope, it means that from your app perspective, what do you need? So I need the WL basic, right? WL means Windows Live. It's the last time they use that, right? So I need the basic information of the user. You have a profile photo, you have a name, email address. This is the basic stuff. After that, I need to get the contact of my friends. Wherever login, you can get my contact friends photo and calendar. Okay? Why you need to do this is something called privacy. When you go inside, it will ask you, this app want to access this and this. Do you allow or not? So it's good when you do this kind of thing. Okay? At the end, you blah, 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 blah. At the end, you just call a code, right? You just call a code. It will give you all the results accordingly. Okay, let's take a look at the code. This particular app that I show you now is not developed by me, but developed by Microsoft. It's part of the SDK, but they do have a lot of things inside. This is one of the ones that with the so-called the security that I want to highlight for you all. If you need to have the source code, you can download yourself or you can copy from me. So you come here. Remember the code that you seen just now? The photo, the blah 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 blah. So you come here, and you don't have to do any of this UI. It's all there. Microsoft provides to you by default. So you can save your time. Oops, shoot. Let's run this again. Oh, so this time I key that thing, it actually... Here. Okay. So you can see what thing that is returned to you in the watch here. This is actually what we call the session token. Every transaction you make with the live, you get passed in this particular code. Again, this is sent in a clear text. But, at least they encrypted it. If you know how to decrypt it, then you can solve the thing, right? But it's not that easy anyway. If you want to get hacked, just let me know. We sign a contract, then we do other things. Right? So, there you go, very straightforward, right? The next one I'll show to you is actually the same demo, but using Live ID, but I'm doing it in the Windows Phone. While waiting for Emulate to fire up, let me show you what exactly is the code. They have something called Live Connect Client, which is part of the SDK. This one is not part, it's not built in into the Windows Phone SDK. You have to download it separately. So it's kind of tough a little bit. Then you can pass in all the necessary information. So just like a few lines of code, right? It's not that difficult actually. 2 or 3 lines of code. Okay, you can see here, it's only 2 lines of code. So again, the SDK will give you a UI that you don't have to design yourself. The login screen will be provided by Microsoft. If this one is able to work with the internet. How many of you on Windows Phone? Let's see your hand. Only 1, 2. 1, 3, yeah, the MVP, forget about them. Right. Do you guys know you can use a keyboard to type? Some of them don't, yeah. Just pick the application now. Right. For this demo, I need to hide it because whatever I type, you see, I'm going to keep half the E sessions as well, which is something like what you've seen just now. Which is something that you've seen just now, right? Okay. So I'll show you a demo how you can do all of these things within a single sign-on. Just that personally, I strongly recommend if you're building on these two platforms, use the Live ID as the vehicle for the single sign-on. The second thing, which is not that difficult, like you have database, install the app name, install username, password, but we just build it for you, they do the encryption for you as well. So you can save your time to build all the encryptions. It's just a quick two-step to build the whole thing. The whole idea is just to store the user credentials, which is what you need, okay? So data encryption and storage is handled by Microsoft. You don't worry where it's stored. It just stored there inside the interface nicely for you. You don't have to figure out where exactly it's stored. I mean, if you want, you can, but I'm going to tell you where it's at. What happens is give you four different operations. Do you guys know all the CRU need? For you guys who as a developer, CRU need means create, read, update, delete, which is the four operations you need to deal with data. Okay? So the CRU is very important. To do the code is quite straightforward as well. Microsoft has been proven very good in making you all lazy by writing as less code as possible. So next time if you have a request that your boss asks you to do something or your manager to do something like this, you can tell him you need 1 week to do it, but in fact you take only 1 hour to do this. Kind of save your time a lot. Well, this is just to create an object, new password vault. Right? Password credentials equals to, so you have an app name, you have a Twitter, or you have a line, let's say line have a password, you have some any app you can put here. Then you put in the username here, the password is password. Straightforward. After that, you just add it. How difficult is that, right? Let's do a demo on the password vault. This one, the demo I like to do a lot. Right. Again, it's a sample that you get from the SDKs. This will highlight a few lines that what I talked about just now. So here we can put here HTTP. What event is this? My MVP open name. Or TW. So my name is Walter. Password is actually later. So this is the portion where they come in. And this is the portions that I showed you just now. First, you declare an object, right? Well, this is very long. First, you declare object. Just declare, straightforward. After this, this is the new object that you pass in the necessary value accordingly. Let's start with three different text boxes, remember? So this one, the resource name, which is usually to the application name, the username and password, right? So, in this example, what I want is like, I'm going to show you how I can read it in the watch. And, sorry. So what I did is, I just want to do a debug doc, right? Like, how many of you use debug a lot, the keyword debug? You use a lot, so you can see that I can output the information here. So my password is called password. I miss our S. Right? This one is what I've been storing inside there. So if I come here, this is the object that I'm having. You can try to figure out then how many items inside there. Like the uninstall one, you can add another few more. So now I have eight different types of the password stored inside there. The reason why I have 8 because I did the same demo 8 times. Every time I want password, so I have 8. Right, so it's very straightforward for you to do it is actually just put a value. Then you're like, hey, Facebook, I have my credential there. Right. And the password is actually empty. And the encryption and the decryption is everything did for you. So let's say I put another, let's say, everything has been created for you nicely that you can go and read through. And this is the property you can read further information if you have to. Right. So this is actually if you want to dig down inside what are the other property that you have. Right. So what happened here, the interesting part I'm going to show to you is to do this kind of thing, if you want to build your own project, Microsoft given to you. But if you want to replicate the same concept to Windows Phone 8, unfortunately there's no solution for you. You have to build one yourself. But if you're in the keynote today, I think Ron will talk about this. He's kind of like mentioned that the Windows 8 platform and the Windows Phone platform are actually on the way to merging it. Personally, I don't know how soon they will be able to merge it, and we hope that one of these things will be able to bring it there once they merge it. But again, stay tuned for early of April. There is a conference called Build. That is where Microsoft will make most of the big announcement. Okay. So this particular demo only works on Windows 8 and not Windows Phone. Right, the next one, debug information. You go to Bing to search for search results, and most of the time you see some sample codes. They always give you something like debug.readline. Have you seen that before? Debug.readline. So you copy and paste, you see a debug information there, right? You guys know what exactly is a debug? You guys ever think what exactly is that? So what happened here is if you haven't those debug information, you build MSI package, you build website, you build Windows 8 project, you send it to the store, you send it to your customer, when you run it, if you didn't remove out the line debug.readline, as a user, I can see your information that you write up. The demo that I showed just now about the password wall, whenever I put a password, it goes to blah blah blah. If I didn't remove out that one, I can see it even without source code, whatever they point out, I'm able to see it. So that's actually very risky. If you forgot, because when you do debugging, sometimes you're very concentrated. You might want to just to do a debug, so-called debug.readline of a password, which is not supposed to be, right? Or you want to debug.readline an IP address with certain information, which is not supposed to be. So we strongly recommend you to remove the information before you do a deployment. We strongly recommend you to do that, okay? And as I said, the debug information able to unveil you as a developer the mistake that you make, or you, what information is critical, because you keep looking at the info is correct or not. So those are the things that you need to be aware of. And the tools to get it is called debug view. And the best about debug view is free. It's anyone can get it. Okay. So let me show you what exactly is a debug view. So, remember I showed this line about debug.readline about password? This one? Right. Just now, when I run it, you see it at the intermediate window below, right? Correct. You see it here, right? When you run Visual Studio, the whole Visual Studio running within a debug context. That's the reason why you have this thing called F5 and Control F5 to differentiate whether you want to run within a debug context or not. Okay. So the tools we have is actually a debug view that you can get yourself, and this is the product that developed by Microsoft. So you run as administrator. You can see a small little bug there because debug means like kill the bug. So when I run this particular app, I don't want to run from Visual Studio, I want to run from here. It's actually one of the apps here, this one. Right, just now I put a line debug.readline, what exactly is my password?
this app you've seen before, I can put in here abc.com, which is the app domain. I'll put here Walter. So the password is, I put a password there. So assume when I press the save, this guy will be able to pick it up. I always run as an administrator. Now I didn't run within Visual Studio. I simulate that environment that a client without a Visual Studio. So when I save the credentials, save, then you can see here, this is my... I show you the app that I did. Now I show you the app that Microsoft did and what thing they pop up. Right. This is actually what the app that keep pumping. I don't know what the heck. What exactly is this? It keeps showing me and disturbing my whole demo. So every one of you know how to use Visual Studio? When you create Visual Studio, you created something here. I create a new project. I create a new web project. Very standard, right? Okay. This is a new template for 2013 that I can select any template I want. When I press on this, this is the thing that Microsoft pumping out. Sometimes you don't see much thing. It's just for them to do debug and troubleshoot use. This is the information that you get, very high level, no sensitive information. But let's say if you go find something sensitive, then it can be something quite interesting. Something around here. Stop. Something around there. You see something there? It's just scrolling. I want to highlight a few things to you. Can you see a time there? Right, this is how long it actually take. And can you see this number here? 16400. This is not for you to buy a lottery. This is actually a process ID number. So very typical if you have any of these things. Clear this first. Okay, stop moving. I close this guy. I'll reopen the new project again. Let's see if it will capture anything. Can you see the 8096? Right? Which is exactly the task. You go to task manager and you can see the PID. 8096. Which is this one. Okay, you only see the word studio. It's actually from Visual Studio. So you actually know that which process pumping out what kind of information. So as a developer, you need to comment out all the debug before you do release. But you might ask me a question, Walter. In one project with 100 or 200 word lines of the debug, how? Well, maybe long time ago I would just tell you copy and paste line. But now you don't have to. When that one just a joke. The reason is because how many times you just seen this guy debug and you don't even bother? That's just the main reason why you can choose debug and release. When you choose release, you will admit up all the debug before. Right? Have you ever understand why your manager, your technical lead always tell you to choose a release mode? This is the reason. Okay, so when you pump this one, the app will come out, you will not have any debug information for you. Okay. Ooh. Hopefully I don't scare you away because the next demo will be more freak out. Obfuscations. Every time you heard people talk about .NET, about Java, you heard this keyword called manage code. What before manage code? Manage code is the code that people can be reverse engineered. Yes. Only native code that people cannot reverse engineer. So there's a process we call obfuscation. Right? Obfuscation is a process to prevent people from reverse engineer, or even they able to reverse engineer, they're not able to read the code. That's the whole concept. There are various obfuscation tools available. The most common one that you heard before is called Dotfuscator. Every time you install Visual Studio, it comes together, but that particular version is only called Express Edition. That means not good enough. For better one, you have to pay money to get a good one. They have a Dotfuscator Professional Edition. Okay? So, The demo I do now is I'm going to show you how I could reverse engineer the Windows 8 app and Windows Phone app for you. Okay, so assume the same demo that I did just now. Let's say this one. Can you see the word that this is my username? Sorry. Remember the first demo I did for you? I passed in username. Assuming this username is some sort of very specific secret key that no one can understand. You put inside there, because you put inside there, you say you build, right? I right click, I build. Right? What happened here is you pass this one to your friends. This is the app, right? The EXE. They pass to your friend. And what happened here is you can open the app called Decompiler, also by the Telerik. And this is the app. The good thing about this one is very easy to do. You click on this guy, you drag it inside. That's all. When you drag it inside, you see a lot of information, fine. But when you start to drill down, you will see all the source code that they have. It's underneath is here. And this is under button click. So you search for button click this guy. You will see all the source code you have, including the keyword that I put there, walter_wws. If you don't know how to read C sharp, no problem, the tools will give you in Visual Basic as well. Right? If you want to read something more further, you go for IL, which I don't understand. Anyone can read IL? Right? So you can choose within C sharp or VB. Then a lot of time people will just tell you, a developer next question will tell you, when I build this particular app, right, I won't pass ESE just to someone, I'm up to the store. So what happened here is, the process that people went through is go to project, you go to store, you go to create the app packages. And so I don't have this. And you just deploy this guy. It created everything nicely, you click on this. So you say that, hey, this is the file, this is not an ESE. Just now I drag an ESE inside. This is not. Say this is okay, right? I mean everything is fine. When I go inside, this is the fun part, you don't see anything. The best part is see an extension called MX, which is the new extension for all the Windows 8 apps. And do you guys know where this app store when you download? Store inside your program files. Right? So you see, it's okay, right? When you drag inside, you have an issue. Let's say I drag this guy in. Right? Expand it, cannot. Oh, I successfully prevent it from a hacker. Yep, that is only the one stage. Let me show the next thing. You do a rename. You rename to a zip file. Then it becomes a zip file. So this is the EXE. I drag to the desktop. This is the app I have. I put it inside. Where's my app? Same file that you have, same ESP that you have, so there are no difference. So you see the FX, you can just rename to a zip file. Which is here. Again, maybe C sharp. If you use another third party tools, it's called Reflector, it gives you maybe C sharp and F sharp. C++ as well. Okay? Right. The last thing that I want to show you here is how I can create a Windows Phone app, and I can pass in all the necessary things. If you are developing a Facebook application, you have this challenge. Facebook will request something called a session. It's called app ID key. That key is a secret. You must embed it inside there to work on it, so people can see the code as well. So how are you going to build this? Same thing. You build your phone project. You come to here. You see a file called the zip file. This one eventually is a zip file as well. Right? Same thing. So this one you don't look for EXE, you look for DLL. So this project is called Rainmaker. That is a Rainmaker WP.DLL. I copied this. I paste it here. Right? This is the file that you see. and open my tools. Yeah, so this is the thing. You ask you for some of the third party library if your PC doesn't have, that's fine. Most of the things you can see. Because if you run even a hack, you just look for the main thing. So this is all the file that you can see. Just give you one or two things to get the use of it. Yeah. At least you see some more things. How you can reverse engineer VBN, I mean the Windows Phone 8 file, the Windows 8 file. At the same time, VBN and C-sharp depends on choice of yours. I want to re-emphasize this education. It's not teaching you how to hack. Don't go back to the office and download all the app and start to do the same thing. Okay. So practice. Right, there's something called SDL. You can read more about it. I won't even cover it in today's sessions. It's what we call secure development lifecycle. Right? When you read in university, we study something called software development lifecycle. This is slightly different. The concept I think is very interesting. Personally, I tell everyone there's something called VIVO, stand for validation input, validation output. Whenever you come in, whenever you go out, you have to do a validation. Okay? And understand and identify the vulnerabilities on the applications. When you build app, you must know where exactly is the problem. Okay? And what happened here is part of the SDL process is for you to identify what is the problem during the early days, not by the end. Okay. So secure the message for throughout the day. Remember I told you about it. The best way to go ahead is the certificate HTTPS. That's the best way and most practical way to go forward. Remove all the debug information before the deployment, please. Right. Like a friend of mine who's the C-sharp MVP, he always turned on his debug view. He always turned it on. The moment he opened the laptop, debug view is always on. So if you unfortunately fall under his laptop, good luck. Obfuscate the application before deployment, as long as any .NET, including your web services, ASP.NET, WinForm, WinServices, everything they do with the .NET, you could have this issue. Hugh, any questions? Any questions? Questions will come in some way, sir. The question is, what's the difference between the Google ID credential store with the Windows Live credential store? If you ask me, they serve the same purpose, which is also a way for you to save the so-called password and not all the credentials. What we recommend you if you're starting on Windows platform, this one will be the recommended one, because by default, to install the Windows itself, you need to put a Live ID, and by default, they already have it. Like personally, I don't even have a Gmail. I'm serious. I don't even have a Gmail. Right? And by the way, I don't work for Microsoft. I just am